You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This episode is being released on April 6th, 2023. And this week we're talking about Easter. This Sunday is Easter Sunday, which means that churches across the country and around the world are preparing special services and events in celebration of this holiday that, supposedly, is to remember the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. But what does the Bible say about this? We're going to discuss that in our episode today. And at the end, I'll let you know what we have planned at the church where I preach this Sunday. For related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/040623. Now for our discussion this week. First, what does the Bible say about Easter? Well, if you're using the King James Version and you look up the word Easter in a concordance or in a Bible app, you'll find that the word is used one time. It's in Acts chapter 12 and verse 4. It says, "And when he, Herod, had apprehended him," referring to Peter the apostle, "he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." Now, that is actually a mistranslation in the King James Version where it has Easter there. Newer translations accurately use the word Passover in that verse, which is a Jewish holiday or a holy day that was instituted by God himself following their deliverance from Egypt. Easter was not observed until the second century. The first century church, under the direction of the apostles, did not have a celebration like that. There was nothing called Easter in the first century church. So the second point is that the first century churches did have an observance that they practiced, and that was the Lord's Supper. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper before his crucifixion. This is recorded in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 29. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And then when Paul wrote to the brethren in Corinth, he wrote about this observance that Jesus instituted in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23, where he said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" The Lord's Supper was a memorial of the death of Jesus on the cross. The emblems, the bread and the cup or the fruit of the vine, represented his body that was hung on the cross and the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sins. And this observance, which is also referred to in the New Testament as the breaking of bread, began when the church was first established on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2, verse 42 says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And as we study the book of Acts, we see that it was a regular practice that when the church met on the first day of the week, they were observing the Lord's Supper. We can see that in the example of Paul when he met with the church at Troas while he was traveling to Jerusalem. Acts 20 and verse 7 says, "On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight." This observance of the Lord's Supper, this was a fundamental part of the worship of the church and was practiced each first day of the week. But aside from that, there were no other special observances, holy days, or anything like that that we can read about in the New Testament. The third point that I want us to consider here today is that the fact that there were no practices like this, but like Easter in the New Testament, that is significant. When Paul was writing to the church at Colossae, he said in Colossians 3:17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Paul was telling them that everything we do must be done by the authority of Christ. Well, what does that mean? It means we do things as he has told us to do them, not just what we think would be pleasing to him. Because Jesus said over in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" This means that there are going to be some who will call Jesus Lord. That means they believe in who he is. They will offer some type of service to him, but they will be guilty of practicing what Jesus called lawlessness, which means they are doing things that are not in harmony with the law that he has given. So when it comes to religious observances, what do we know is pleasing to the Lord? Well, it's what we can read about in the New Testament, what has been revealed there, and that is the Lord's Supper. Now, the fourth point I want us to talk about here today is a potential objection to what I've said so far. Because we have the Lord's Supper, and people will recognize that, yes, that's talked about in the New Testament. And they may say, okay, maybe Easter isn't in the New Testament, but isn't the resurrection of Christ vitally important? And to that, I would say, absolutely, it is. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, we would have no hope. Paul explained this when he wrote about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 17, where he says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied." That's how important the resurrection of Jesus is, that if he was not raised from the dead, we have no hope. And the apostles proclaimed the resurrection of Jesus beginning on the day of Pentecost, when the church was first established. Acts chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, Peter said, "This man," referring to Jesus, "delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power." From the very beginning, when the church was established, the resurrection was being proclaimed. And Peter would write in his first epistle, in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, that we have been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the apostles preached the resurrection from the beginning on the day of Pentecost all through the book of Acts, and we continue to proclaim the resurrection just as the apostles did. So is the resurrection of Christ important? Absolutely. We would have no hope without it. But the celebration of Easter is something different. That's not what the church did in the first century. The church that was guided by the apostles, who were chosen by the Lord to be his ambassadors, as 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20 said, the church did not practice anything like this. Now, can individuals set aside a particular day to remember or focus on something related to their faith? Sure they can. Paul talked about this in Romans chapter 14 and verse 5, where he said, one person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. But there in that verse, Paul is talking about what we are doing as individuals, not what practice the church might invent or establish that is in addition to what we find in the New Testament. So as we wrap up this brief episode here today, for most professed Christians around the world, Easter is the day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Yet this is something that we should remember and be thankful for at all times throughout the year. This religious holy day is, as we've talked about, nowhere to be found in the New Testament. So if we are trying to do all things in the name of the Lord, which means by His authority, then we need to strive to hold fast the pattern, as 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13 says. Hold fast to that pattern or that standard that is found in the New Testament, rather than adopt the practices of the religious world around us, no matter how popular they might be. Oh, and before we quit, I mentioned that I was going to tell you what our church was doing this Sunday. Well, what we're going to be doing this Sunday is the same thing we do every Sunday. We assemble for worship. We're going to remember the death of Christ by observing the Lord's Supper. We're going to sing. We're going to pray. We're going to give. We're going to listen to preaching and teaching from the Word of God. Well, why are we going to do those things? It's not because we sat around and decided, well, this is what we want to do. It's not because we looked at some other churches and saw that they do this. Well, we want to do that too. Why do we do those things? It's because that's what we can find in the New Testament. So that's what we're going to do this Sunday and every Sunday after that. Well, that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this to be interesting, informative, and helpful. For some related links to or materials that are related to what we've talked about today about Easter and what we do in our worship and the resurrection of Christ, visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/040623. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others, that would be appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we are also uploading video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. If you prefer the video to the audio, then that option is there for you. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel, and you'll be able to keep up with other videos that we post here from time to time. And if you see a news story that you think would make for a good discussion, or some topic like this one that you would like to have covered here, please send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.